Have you ever had to say goodbye to someone for a long time, maybe even for good? It can be one of the most difficult and uncertain times in a person's life. Whether it's graduating and going off to college this season, maybe starting a new job or a new phase in life, maybe it's a deployment overseas, could be the death of a loved one, or even to end a relationship that has ceased to be a source of goodness and holiness. There are many reasons we say goodbye, loaded with thoughts and emotions, fears and hopes. This 14th chapter of the Gospel of John that we've been hearing these last weeks comes from a long section towards the end of Jesus' time with his disciples called the Farewell Address. And it is, in a way, such a long goodbye. And here we get an incredibly intimate and personal glimpse into a conversation between friends. And Jesus told his disciples that I have called you friends. It's a goodbye that's fraught with mixed feelings on the part of the disciples. Why is he telling us this? What is going to happen to Jesus? What's going to happen to us? And like a compassionate parent or friend, Jesus tells them a few verses later, "Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you." And Jesus tells them to rejoice. But if you've ever been in one of these situations, it can be the hardest thing to do, the last thing on your mind. There's always a little bit of pain before that joy. There is a death before the rising. And so to truly experience this joy and peace that Jesus is talking about, we deep down know that something must die in us before it can rise. And this section of the gospel is all about how Jesus came to reveal the will of God the Father, which will open up an entirely new future for those who trust in him. And the prayer also has the purpose of preparing Jesus to faithfully meet his own suffering and death, that this dark period may yet yield to light. And so here in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, and it's a beautiful chapter to go back and read in its entirety, Jesus is offering this very tender instruction about the very difficult question, which is at the heart of being human, which is, how do I love someone when they are gone? How do I love someone when they are gone? Jesus begins by telling his disciples three ways that he will continue to love them when he leaves, how he remains with them even when he is gone from their sight. First, he tells them that he will send the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, to be with them. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you an Advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you." I had the opportunity just a couple weeks ago, received an emergency anointing call down at one of our local hospices, pretty typical for us, and I went in to meet the man who was days away probably from leaving this world, and he couldn't speak too much, but he had enough breath to share with me that he had been away from the church for about 25 years or so, and he was scared about what was coming up next. I asked him what he was afraid of, and he said, "I'm afraid of the unknown. I don't know what's coming next for me." And so I asked him, "Do you know Jesus?" He says, "I think I know Jesus." The future is always a place of unknowing for us. But if we know Jesus, it's enough. The future is always going to be a place of unknown. But if we know that Jesus is going to be there, if we know nothing else other than whatever is up ahead, Jesus will be there, it's enough for us. The Holy Spirit is how Jesus returns his presence to us upon the earth after he has gone to the right hand of the Father in heaven. This is the first way that Jesus says he will love us even after he's gone from their sight. Second, Jesus promises that he will return to them himself after a little while. He says, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." And this is at the core of our faith, this expectant hope in the second coming of Christ, in what the Bible calls the parousia, Jesus coming again in glory. It reminds me a little bit here of when a child knows that his or her parent is going away, maybe on a business trip or that deployment, whether it's for a short time or a long time, and wants to make sure their mom or dad remembers them when they go. So they sneak a little something into their suitcase or ask mom and dad to leave them with something so that they know that their parent is really not all that far away. And Jesus gave us just such a memento, something he gave to his children to let them know that even when he's gone, even though he's coming back, that he will return to them. And that something is the Eucharist. Jesus gave us the Eucharist to know, for us to know that we are not orphans. That the Eucharist itself is a sign that Jesus was here, Jesus is here, and that Jesus is coming again. That's something that should be in our hearts when we receive the Eucharist, that as a kind and loving parent and friend, Jesus gave us the Eucharist as a sign that he was here, that he is here in our presence, and that he is coming again, what we call the pledge of future glory. And third and lastly, Jesus remains in the active love of the community of disciples, so that he told them, when we love one another, Jesus is truly present. And so, this begs the question, how do we love Jesus in return when he is gone from us? First, we love him by keeping his commandments. You heard in our gospel today, whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Two commandments that Jesus gave his disciples that we keep in love. The first is this new commandment that Jesus tells them, love one another as I have loved you. The second commandment Jesus gives, do this in remembrance of me. So when we commit to loving one another in a self-sacrificial way and celebrating the Eucharist in remembrance of him, we are fulfilling the commandments of Jesus. And so by keeping these commandments, we continue to love him even when he is gone. Second, when we love Jesus, we share his words. We heard in our second reading from the letter of St. Peter, to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. But do it with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. We love Jesus when we keep his words alive in our hearts, in our minds, and in our words. Sometimes we hear this refrain that if people are angry, I must be speaking the truth. That might be the case. But I think this passage also leads us to reflect and say, if people are angry, it might just be because I'm acting like a jerk. We have to let the pass through that gate for the first time. The scripture says, give a reason for your hope. And so when we're sharing the word of the Lord, keeping Jesus' words alive, it's always going to be a word and a reason of hope for others. And so sometimes maybe we fall into the habit of sharing only the reasons that we think the world around us is going to hell in a handbasket. It's important for us to share the reasons for our hope with others. Hope is always attractive. Third and finally, we love Jesus when we do his works. We keep his commandments, we share his words, and we do his works. We are the hands and feet of Christ in the world. We heard in our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles that when the apostles were in Jerusalem and they heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they then went to do his works. They sent Peter and John, who went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus, they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit empowers us to do the works of Jesus. And so these words from Jesus in this 14th chapter of John show us that every authentic leaving is really always ascending. And so that in the gospel, goodbye is never really the end, but it's a way forward to a new future filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the quality of our future may just depend on how we say goodbye in this life.